just knew it. Fatherhood. I guess that's where it comes to be a bit fresh, you know.
Good.
Sometimes, you know, we take our life lessons for granted once we've gotten past them. But I'm in the thick of it at the moment, so what I'm saying might be similar to what everyone knows, but you might get something out of it, I don't know.
Sure.
So my main thrust of my message this morning, if you can call it a message, it's more like a... I'd just like to share some things with you.
Yeah, that's good.
Is to be able to encourage people. I get the sense that God is trying to comfort his people and also reassure them of his providence and his ability and his position above the world and above all the present worries and concerns. And, you know, because Joe brought some scriptures from John 13:14. Which I've got some in here. And also Jill brought 1 John, which is also 4, which is also in my message. So, you know, that's a good sign.
Yep.
To me.
It is a good sign.
So on Monday, it was a particularly hard day for me, for a lot of reasons. But one of the things I decided to do was to meet it face on. And... understand what God was trying to teach me in the moment as it related to my role as a father. And I'm titling today Lessons in Fatherhood. So here are some of the things that I heard God saying to me and from my own reflection as well. He said, I have a job to do. And to rest in it, don't resent it. Because sometimes the pressure can be on you to be everything to everybody. And it can feel like it's a never-ending chore, which sometimes it is. But it's so meaningful that we lose sight of the purpose. We lose sight because it's so repetitive and so what you would call basic. You know, it's just stuff to do with everyday life, you know. My son is not toilet trained yet, so he still has to have a nappy change. And I now have another son who also needs a nappy change. And so my life can sometimes be nappy changes, although Nikita does it at night time, which God bless her for that, while I'm working, because she's a good woman like that. And I got to the point there where I was starting to resent the day in, day out, dark winter nights, you know how it is. And I felt like, you know, that was coming across in my attitude. And then the Lord spoke to me and helped me when things sort of came to a head. And since then, he's helped me to have an open attitude and just to go and roll with it. Because sometimes it's more less about what you're going through and more about who you are to the people who are around you, and they don't need you to be crabby and resentful. You know, it can be fatiguing, it can be frustrating, you can feel futile. You know, you've got all those big projects you wanted to do and things can get out of hand, but that's not important right now. God told me about the role model of a father. So a father is faithful. So a good father is faithful to his wife and to his children and to his word. Yeah. A good father is forbearing. So little Zechariah, he's only 2 now and a bit, and he doesn't really understand much. He just understands whether daddy is happy or not. And he understands. So I need to come at it from a different point of view, because when he's hitting his brother, the tendency is to rise up in anger. But really, that's him telling me something that, or telling mummy something that he needs, without using his words. So we have to reframe our well, I had to reframe. Nikita knows all this stuff, but I had to reframe my thinking about the repercussions of what happens when that happens. So being a bit more patient and understanding and seeing things from his point of view, which is hard because I don't remember being two, so I listened to Nikita on that one. And it is really, it's a process of submission and humility, which doesn't come easy to us blokes. And I wouldn't call myself a man's man, but I find the process very humbling and quite a... you have to give away a lot in short-term stuff, and that is a process of submission. And that in itself is like a pleasing thing to God, because he needs somebody who's willing and open. And believe it or not, the role of the father is really a God-given role, and we are to model who he is to our family. And change, here's another thing. I mean, you know, like our lives as a family and also my individual life has been very tumultuous since we gave birth to our first son, because we had him for 6 months, getting used to that part of our lives, and then bushfires and then COVID and having another child and another pregnancy where Nikita hasn't been very well as well. And it's been quite tumultuous and you know, change can be hard, and when it rains, it pours in life, generally. So, you know, it's like the straw that breaks the camel's back. It's just that one extra thing. And I just want to encourage everyone out there that sort of feels that way. You know, it's just pouring right now. One of the key messages that I've heard the Holy Spirit and the Lord tell me through this period of time is that you just got to keep going, got to keep walking through that valley. Because it's not, things are so temporary, blessings are temporary, hardships are temporary. You just got to keep staying the course and don't give up. So that's what I got on Monday so, when I paid attention. But I just want to talk a little bit more about fatherhood in general. So the Lord showed me a few things that reflect what a father is, because he is a father. Fathers are persistent. They don't give up. They're provisional. They provide. They provide providence, protection. They are presence. One of my reflections was that a father is present, because even if he, in the natural, he wasn't that present, when he was gone, he was no longer there. Because a father is an inherent role that once he's gone, that's it. And those of us who don't have a father anymore, we understand that you just want to be able to go to dad and say, hey, I need help. Or just to hear his laugh again or something like that. A father is purpose. A father can tell you what you're good at. He can see you more than you can see yourself. A father is peace, as Joanne rightly quoted from Scripture, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding. He's pleased with you. So a father is someone who's going to build you up, and he's the promise of who you're going to become when you're older. So I did a bit of research about dads and fatherlessness. I found a little fact sheet on dadsforkids.org.au, and it's quite sad because we're talking about a pandemic or an epidemic. This is the real pandemic. Forget about coronavirus. Forget about communism. Forget about all that other stuff, because really the enemy is after the father, because the image of the father is what they see in the Lord. When someone encounters the Lord, they see the father, and if that's tarnished, it just makes it all the more difficult. So it's fair to say that 21st century, the biggest thing that we're tackling here is fatherlessness. And when you don't know who your father is, and when you don't have that peace, that heritage, that understanding of who God is in your life, fear takes over. And it's hard to have peace. In Australia alone, 85% of all single parent families at this point in time are fatherless. And a study was conducted in the US by a psychologist called David Popenoe that found that from the 1960s to the 1990s, fatherlessness increased twofold by from 17% to 36%. And so by the turn of the century, it was about 50% of all families in the US. And it lists a bunch of negative impacts from having no father in society that have been proven by multiple studies. There's lots of citations at the bottom of the document that last about 3 or 4 pages worth of research. A father is comfort. A father is guidance, a place to run, love and affirmation. You know, mums just give, and I've heard T.D. Jakes preach about this, mums, you know, kisses are a dime a dozen because mum just loves you. But when dad says, you've done good, mate, that's high quality praise right there. One of the most powerful things in Christian life that you can do is to actually have a sense of who you are and whose you are. And I love the way that Joanne read the scriptures this morning, because it was solid as, and she knows when she was speaking those words, I could tell that she believed them from John 14. And I just want to share the one scripture that helps me a lot from John chapter 14, verse 1. Because the context of this scripture, like Joe read, Jesus had been talking a lot about all the doom and gloom that was to come, his betrayal, you know, his death, his what else has been talking about Peter denying that he knows him and predicting that. And, you know, sort of giving them a bit of a sad picture. And, you know, sometimes when life looks a little bit like that, you need to hear these words from Dad.
That's good.
So the very next chapter he starts and he says, in verse 1 of 14, he says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me." And I just sort of feel like the Spirit of God is saying that he wants us to trust in God and trust in him for the purposes of our being comforted. And you know, that's where we become aware that we're his, is when we can trust somebody. We know who they are, and when we hear the scriptures talk about his character as a father, we can be comforted in that. So then what the world and even the church first and foremost needs to have is an encounter with the Father's love.
Yeah.
So really, our heart, or my heart is especially, is that we would really have an understanding and a revelation about who he is in our lives.
Yeah.
And, you know, when we say revelation, you know, it's not just about knowing stuff. It's about actually having an experience and a reality to what you're reading. So we don't need to know more stuff. We need to have an experience, because that changes us, that touches us deep inside. Because when we feel the world shake as it is now, we need to hear that those words of the Father and the truth about God in our lives, and it needs to be real. And that's something that I've had to take as well. You know, and I don't mean to bring up sensitive issues, but when we talk about vaccination, there was a point where I had to decide about what I was going to do and then commit it to the Lord. Because one thing that I felt was that I had the power to do something to protect myself and my family, and whatever else was happening or whatever else was going on, I had to leave that with God, because he's the one with the big picture. And as soon as I made that decision, the peace of God — it doesn't matter what decision you make, by the way, because you have to do that with your conscience. But when, as soon as you commit to something, you need to commit that to God. And then you can have that peace. Because I know that I was in a little bit of a no man's land for ages, you know. And then sometimes we just need to make that decision. And that reminds me of my father. He was very pragmatic. And sometimes it's very good to be reminded of, because a father provides clarity and can provide assurance.
Yeah.
And sometimes we just need that assurance from God.
It's good.
Like in these scriptures. So in 1 John 4:4, everyone would know of this scripture. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them. That is the world, the spirit in the world, the Antichrist. Because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Another thing to assure yourself of, and this is what I was reminded of when I was receiving my injection. Because I know that this is a touchy issue, but we need to — I feel like this is a good thing to help some people. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Sometimes I think we forget that when we're backed into a corner sometimes, or we feel that we are, or we're fretting about our choices, we just need to remember who's actually got the reins in life.
Yep.
And in 1 John 4:18, again, another comforting scripture, but we just need to be reminded. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment, and the one who fears is not made perfect in love. Some of you may have had fathers who were sort of very authoritarian and may have punished you if you stepped out of the line. And maybe there was no love in that. Maybe there was. But let me just tell you that when true discipline, and when someone really loves you and sits down with you with the truth, you can feel that. Even though that there's an uncomfortableness, sometimes we just have to go through that to receive what God is saying. And I just wanted to encourage you that don't be afraid. Don't be fearful of what the world is trying to push on you through media or other people's opinions. You know, something to be gotten out of this season is, you know, like, at the end of the day, it's just me and God. And he and I are going to work out what's best for my life. And I think you can all do the same. We can all do the same.
Yeah.
And just, you know, sometimes it just takes a little bit of adversity, a little bit of trial. You know, a good father trusts us.
Yeah.
You know, a good father would trust you after he's, you know, looked after you for so long. Eventually you're going to have to be trusted to get dressed. And after he's looked after you so long, eventually he's going to have to trust you to drive a car. The same with the Heavenly Father. He's brought you so far, and he's going to trust you with this next season, because it's time for us to grow up as a church and in our lives. And, you know, universally, we've got to grow up as Christians. You know, sometimes I think about where we were at pre-pandemic and the current season. And I think, you know, we really need to refocus on why we're here as a church. And I know that this is something that's not new, but we do need to remember that we're here for the lost, for those who don't know or haven't been connected or had an experience with their true father, because that's the real need. The real need is not healing from necessarily the coronavirus pandemic, that's just a surface thing
yeah.
that distracts us from the real work that the enemy is doing.
That's good.
We need to believe the Lord that He will rise up fathers, or raise up fathers, and commission them in the body. Because what does a father do? He believes in you. And sometimes our foibles and our mistakes are, you know, can seem like they disqualify us, but all it takes is for Dad to go, brush yourself off, son, get up, have another go. And that's it. We're back on the path, because it's not about our actions. It's not about our performance. It's about who He says we are.
Yeah, that's right.
And we can model that here on earth, because when I felt disqualified, I've had people who believe in me, mothers and fathers in the faith. And I'm believing that God will bring up more mothers and fathers in the faith. And I'm believing I will be a father in the faith. And I feel like that's our job. When we say we need to believe in one another, I'm thinking, you know, bear with one another.
That's good.
And make the effort to get on. And all these scriptural references that, you know, are very important. And it speaks of love. It speaks of protection. It speaks of covering. It speaks of a place to run. Because we're going to have a lot of messy people who are going to come back to church, and we need to be able to stick with them and believe in them. And that's what God wants. That's God's Father heart. So I pray that this morning you receive the gist of my message. I know that it's not perfect, but I believe that God wants us to channel the Father. Channel the Father. And I know that many of you do already. And God bless you,
thank you
for that. And thank you for my mothers and fathers in the faith. And I just hope that you're blessed. I hope that you look for opportunities to see what God is saying to you at this hour and this time. Because that's really what He wants to do. He wants to talk to you. He wants to help you and help you to make decisions that are hard. You know, that's what Dad used to help me with. He used to help me with the tough stuff and He wants to help you with the tough stuff. If you feel alone, if you feel like stuck, He can do it. He can help you. And you're a big girl, or you're a big boy, so, you know,
yeah.
we can do this. And we'll walk into the next season together.
Amen. Thanks, Christopher. That was really good. And I know that there's some people watching that haven't had a father experience and just want to remind you that our Heavenly Father is everything that we need, and He loves us, and it doesn't matter what we've done, He loves us unconditionally, and He wants you to draw near to Him. I don't need to say any more because you've said it all. So thank you for that, sharing that with us today. So we're just about